I want you to do over the next couple weeks is I would like you, if you could have some time, which I know you do, you create some time where you can kind of start graphing your spiritual growth. There's a saying that they used to have and they still have, thank God that we're not what we were and we're not what we're going to be either. All right, and so start from today looking back how God has worked in your life. You can do it as like a roller coaster ride. You can graph it some other way. Maybe you're more of a storyteller, like points of different where you were and where you are now. And then at some point later on, we'll talk about this, about where God's taking you. But there's this idea, and Seth brought it out well, that where we are now is not where we were. Right? I mean, I'm guessing that all of us are in here, we can kind of look back and say, where we are today is not where we were. And when we look at other people, we just put everything all in one picture, right? We kind of see them, we see their success, especially successful people, and we're like, man, God must really like them, right? I mean, God must really, he really blessed them. They're the golden boy, golden girl. They get everything wrapped up in a silver platter. They never go through anything tough. They have everything all together, and they are achievers. They've climbed the ladders, and wow, they're just God really blessed them. But what a lot of times we don't understand is the journey that God has taken them on to get there. Okay, so just understand this. If you got married when you were 13, your marriage probably wouldn't have been too healthy. Why? Because you haven't grown to the point of handling that. Does that make sense? So even when you're first married, we think happily ever after. All right, just get married. You met the person that you love. Love will carry you through. Everything's good. And hopefully you've experienced this idea of if you have gone through marriage and you've gone through some tough times, that your marriage is stronger now, hopefully, than it was back here. You know, I was, the last weekend I was standing back, even today, you kind of stand back sometimes, and, you know, 11 years into this church thing, and I look back and I'm like, how did we get here? You ever like, all right, so when you start churches, you know, you kind of move into the area and you have this plan working. There's people starting churches when I started church. And I look back and they were a lot smarter than me. Their preaching skills were a lot more sharpened than mine. If I look at the last 11 years and to see what God has done in the church, I'm like, what happened? Why is God doing what he is doing? And I'm going to give you a leadership lesson first. All right, there's this law, and John Maxwell says it's the law of the lid. All right, so God can do amazing things, and God will work in all sorts of circumstances, but there is this law of the lid that says that an organization will not grow past their leader. What the level of the leadership of the leader is, that's where the organization stops. So about 5-6 years ago, I realized that in order for the church to become what God wanted it to be, I needed to become what God wanted me to be. Does that make sense? In order for the church to grow spiritually, I needed to grow spiritually. In order for the church to go relationally, I needed to grow relationally. In order for the church to take its next steps, I needed to take my next steps. And so this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to stand in the middle of your life right now, where you are today, and we're going to start by looking back. Because here's my guess. As you're graphing your graph, the times of your most spiritual growth, the times that God has created the most capacity in your life, have been times when it's been unbelievably difficult. Like you're like, I don't know if I can survive this one. But in those moments of like, I can't believe I'm surviving this, there was unbelievable growth. That this is what you're gonna see, I think. We'll talk about some other things later on. And yet, we sit here this morning, and many of you are thinking, God, I'm just going to pray this morning that you take this circumstance out of my life, right? I mean, you're praying that God changes things. God changes the whatever it is that you're, maybe it's relational you're wrestling with, maybe your marriage, maybe with your kids, Maybe it's the spiritual side. Maybe it's financially you're struggling. Maybe it's just the some kind of health scare you have. Maybe it's you're wrestling this morning. Many of you are wrestling this morning like, God, take this out of my life. If you love me, you'll take this out of my life. Well, let's go back to what we just said. If your greatest moments of growth have been the most challenging moments in your life, why would God ever remove the things you're going through now? Because maybe he's using those things to grow you. Maybe God has bigger. See, in order for God to do incredible things in your life, in order for God to do greater in your life, he's not going to just pour it into your life because you're not ready yet. You can't handle God's blessing in your life. Is that fair? If God blessed you the way he wants to, if God just kind of opened the doors of heaven, let's just say financially, God just said, all right, I'm going to answer your prayer financially. You're going to get what you want. You're going to get the amount that you're praying for right now, right? Okay, so all of a sudden the check's written. I'm guessing that if God did that to you, you're not ready for it. You're not spiritually, emotionally healthy to handle that prayer, that answer. Or if you're like, God, I want you to do this in my relationship. I want you to maybe God's growing you because you're not ready to be there yet. You're praying for intimacy, and you can't even be intimate. You're praying for this, like, this dance you're having with your spouse, and you're not willing to dance yourself. Maybe, here's where we're going this morning. Maybe it's about what God wants to do in your life and less about what he wants to do in your circumstances. Maybe the hardest things that you'll go through in life, the hardest things, maybe the greatest opportunities for God to enlarge your capacity. Let's do the scripture, because I'm going to go two scriptures this morning, but spend most of my time in one, because these two scriptures say the same thing. So, and I want you to see this. Paul is writing to the Roman church, and he's like, all right, let me just share a little story, little something, a little theology with you, something that I believe, all right? So this is what he says, Romans 5, starting in verse 3. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Let me just change the... We celebrate our sufferings, is what he's saying. When we tell stories, we're telling stories of our suffering. That doesn't sound right to me, but that's what he's saying. I'm gonna glory. It means I'm going to be excited about. I'm going to brag on. I'm gonna, like, this is the story I'm telling. I'm gonna glory in our sufferings. This is what. Here's the reasoning. All right. This is the reasoning behind why Paul says there is a celebration, there is a goodness to suffering sometimes. It says, because we know, theologically in our head, we have this, we can believe this, we can trust this, we can, even in the midst of a circumstance, we can, like, step back and say, we believe, we know. See, we can go believe, many people believe is like this, like, wishy-washy thing, like, hey, I kind of believe this. No. Biblical belief is like this. I am convinced of. I'm holding on to. I believe this is true because we know that suffering, struggle in all sorts of different realms, whatever realm you're dealing with, produces what? What does it say? Perseverance. Means, okay, what it means is that God's looking at the long picture. He's playing the long game. He could easily make you happy now by taking away the circumstance, but he's not playing the now game. He has eternity in view. He's like, in order for you to be who he designed you to be, in order to increase your capacity, in order to increase your capacity for relationship, in order to increase your capacity for faith, in order to increase your capacity for generosity, in order to increase your capacity for joy, in order to increase your capacity in your calling, in order to increase what God wants to do in your life, he says, I'm looking at the long haul, and one of the things that he does in order to produce health and produce growth in the long haul is this idea of trials, tests, and suffering. Because we know that suffering produces the outcome of it. So, like, seeds in the ground. You plant tomato seeds, you get tomato plants, and you get tomatoes. All right, what suffering produces when you lay it before Christ is the long game. God doing more than you can ask or imagine. Because God wants to produce something not just around you, he is doing something in you. Let me go on to the next verse 4. perseverance, all right, when we start looking at the long game and say, all right, God, you're doing something, and you're going to carry me on to completion. Perseverance says, I'm going to finish the race. I'm not tapping out early. I'm not giving up on this. I'm going the whole way. I'm running even though I'm tired. I'm running even though I have a cramp in my side. I'm running even though my mind's telling me to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep fighting this journey. I want to do all I can to get out of this circumstance, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm not giving up, because perseverance, when you're not giving up, produces character. That's what God's producing. Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit is involved in your life, you know what the Spirit's producing? Love, joy, peace, patience. Are you familiar with that list? Character. Right? That's what God wants to produce. That's what God's doing in your life. He says, I want you to be more loving. I want you to be more joyful. I want you to experience more peace. I want you to be more patient. I want you to have more goodness in your life. He is producing character in your life. How do we get character? Trials, suffering. You know, our one word is all about suffering, really, in some ways. If you want to know what your one word's about, somehow God's going to teach it to you through difficult circumstances. Right? If you want to know what hope is, you're like, hope is such a pretty word. Well, you know, hope is a removal of something that you want to receive till you get it. Hope's out there. Hope's like living like you're going to get what you don't have. That's hope. And if you're like, man, I want to experience hope. God's going to remove some things so you can grow in hopes. So he enlarges your capacity. If your word is joy, you're like, man, joy is such a happy word, right? I mean, I chose joy because I'm like, a couple years ago, because it seems like such a good word. Guess what? Joy, you don't learn unless you learn in the crucible of struggle. Like, God can put happy circumstances, but that's not joy, that's happiness. God says, I want you to learn how to be joyful in the midst of crazy things going on, that you can find joy in me. And so joy is learned in the crucible of suffering. I honestly, if you're doing one word, I can't find, maybe you found one and you can tell me later. I can't find a one word that God is doing in your life over the year. For those of you who don't know what one word is, we don't do New Year's resolutions. We do one word. We start the year with a word that God wants to produce in your life. I'm just telling you, I don't know a word that he does in our life that's going to be without some kind of struggle. All right, I'm preaching this passage, not the other one yet. But keep on going to verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because it produces hope. Character produces hope, which means the picture that there's an end game. Does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, listen, this is what trials produce. Jump over to James chapter 1. This is one that maybe you know, have memorized, or maybe you should have memorized. Paul starts the letter this way. This is a happy intro. You know, most of us say, dear whoever, ever. Well, we don't write letters anymore, but emails. Dear whoever, ever. Hey, I hope you're having a good day. Paul doesn't even jump to the good day. He just jumps and says, hey, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Think about that one. Many kinds, all sorts of trials, all sorts of difficulties. You have a difficulty, put it on this list. Whenever you face trial, because you know, here's that know again, that you trust, you believe that the testing or the trials of these difficulties, the testing of your faith, here's the word, produces the long game, perseverance. Let me jump to the end of the verse here, verse 3, 4. Let perseverance finish its work. Let us run its course. Don't quit too early. See the long game. So that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. So stop for a second. Because we talk about the first part of the verse. Consider it pure joy. Think about, have joy in suffering. That's what you hear a lot of message on. But you don't understand the why we have joy. It's because we know that you'll be, I'm pointing back here, you guys aren't looking back here, but I'll point up here. You may be mature and complete, not lacking what? Anything. What does suffering produce? What does hardship produce? What does trials and tests produce? A person who is mature, which means is full grown, who is complete, wholeness, you're whole, you're not lacking anything. Like you are who God designed you to be. You have almost arrived at your spiritual level. God is producing in you so this growth that's like he wants to complete you. He wants you to bring you to wholeness. He doesn't want you to be immature anymore. He doesn't want you to be a 13-year-old. He doesn't want you to be a 10-year-old. He doesn't want you to be a 16-year-old, even though they can be mature sometimes. He wants you, 22-year-old, they think they're mature, that you're still getting there. 48-year-old, you're still getting there. He wants you to be whole, complete, not lacking anything. How does he produce that? Trials and struggle and hardship. So you want to, here's the interesting part. You want to know how you increase your capacity? You engage in the trials that you have from a different perspective. Because what does it say? Consider it. Change your thought, because here's the truth, all right? There's two kinds of stress. There's what some would say, you stress. You've heard that phrase, you stress, good stress. There's times you put your physical training, you stress your body, and it becomes good because it's growth. Right? There's good stress, and then there's distress, where you're like, I'm not making this one. Well, what we're saying is that when we submit all that we have, all that we're going through before God in humility and submission, say, God, you can do what you want in my life, we don't get ran over by our stress. We trust God that he's in control of the stress. Because there's two responses. You've seen it, right? You've seen people who have been, they crumple underneath the weight. They tap out. They're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this faith thing anymore. I can't do this relational thing anymore. I'm tapping out. I'm giving up. I don't hold on to that. And some of you maybe are there this morning, like almost tapping out underneath the weight of your stress, of your difficulties. But there's another way to handle it. Submit it. Let God bring healing to it. Let God do a work in the midst of it. And then let God enlarge you. I was looking back at my life, all right? And again, just looking at how God has been incredibly good to me, all right? And I give him all the, anything that he does is really through him. But I was looking at how God has enlarged me along the way. How he has grown me. And I remember one time in my second church, but early on in my ministry, probably my first year at the second church, meeting kind of like full, back then they did congregational meetings and like everyone attended, right? I mean, that's how they did church, and they kicked me out and the pastor out because they're talking about our salaries, you know, and it must be we're not allowed to know what people say about our salaries. So we're out there and someone stands up while I'm out there saying, hey, he needs to be fired. We need to get rid of first year of ministry. And I just remember walking with my wife and I walking away like, what in the world? Because you have this idea of ministry in your head of like, God's going to do great things. Kids are going to come to Christ. The ministry is going to grow. It's going to be like a Christian camp all the time. You know, because we're going to have these beautiful relationships and we're going to have some fun times with people and this is going to be a great experience working for a church because church is perfect. And I had this picture in my head of what church is supposed to be. And then I find out later that someone's trying to fire me without even cause, without anything. I didn't even do anything. I was there for a few months. I couldn't even mess up that bad yet. I was going to, but I wasn't there yet. But that moment has given me like this, I can't explain it to you well, but it's given me strength to know that if I can handle that, I can pretty much handle anything else that God has brought that happens to me, right? I mean, if I can walk through that, if I can handle a community of people talking poorly about me, and again, not all of them did, but that's in your mind, that's where you're playing out. In fact, the cool part was people stood up in that meeting and said the exact opposite, but that, again, it produced perseverance in me. Like, that's why I can stand up here today. Let me just give you the other one that formed my family. And you know this story because we've shared it multiple times. This is a story that we've lived here. Was our first time that we took in a foster care child that we fell in love with, that we adored, that we would adopt it easily. In a moment notice, we would have adopted that boy. You know, like we loved him, and we had to send him back to his parents. And in our mind, and we know that his parents are not bad people; they're just broken people, and they do not have the capacity to parent. But we legally had nothing to stand on. We had to send them. And I just remember wrestling. You know what I'm saying about wrestling, right? Praying, God, how in the world? This is not just. This is not right. This can't be your plan. This is not the way things are supposed to work. You know, my kids love this boy. My wife loves this. I love this boy, and we're fighting for him, right? I mean, the intensity of that and praying and asking God to intervene, knowing that he has the power to do so, and yet he doesn't. And yet I look back on that time in my life, and that and it's not, you know, you mentioned in a message in like 2 seconds, but you know that when you're going through struggle, it's a period of time that you can't even put a beginning and end with, because you're just wrestling and fighting and battling and stretching through it. But I can tell you that now, if I had an eraser, I would not erase that journey ever. As painful and as struggle that was for my family. Because it changed my kids' hearts. It changed my heart. It changed my wife's heart. It gave my wife a ministry where she can talk to people going through foster care who have experienced that and be like, I've been there. I felt that. Listen, it's not easy. You know, do you know what I mean? It expanded her and what God had called her to. Listen, that's true of almost all things that you're going through. God's going to use your most painful things in order to do something amazing later. You may not know what it is. Listen, I'm not telling you why bad things happen. That's not the message of this sermon this morning. What I'm telling you is that God wants to grow you through it. You don't have to understand why. Don't even try to go that way, because you're not going to get it. Job never got a why. He wrestled for a period of time. He's like, God, why is this happening? His friends are telling him why, and his friends are idiots. They don't even know why. But God grew him through it. God showed up, and you know what God finally says to Job? I'm God, you're not. Trust me. That's the answer. Don't tell me why. I'm taking the long view. Now, we know the backstory that Satan was fighting a battle in his life, and God wanted to show Satan in the world that there was a righteous man who could stand in the face of adversity and still be righteous. We know that story. Job doesn't. God is at work. Listen, we can look back and say, man, God grew me through that. God grew me through that. If I gave you erasers, many of you would be like, I can't erase that. Even though it's the most painful thing I've ever went through, it's made me who I am. God has rescued that. God has redeemed that for my good. And I'm not going to erase it. I'm not going to go back on it. I believe that God has done something. But why do we, when we're looking forward, try to erase things that God's doing in our life? We looking back, we say, God, I don't want to do it again, but I'm glad that you grew me through it. But when we're looking forward, we're like, God, take this out of my life. Take this out of my life. Take this out of my life. And God's like, I don't want to take things out of your life. I want to grow your capacity. I want to increase the potential of what I can do in you. I want to grow your faith. I want you to be able to trust me so much in anything. If I take everything away, I want you to be able to trust me. I want to be first place in your life. I want to grow your relational capacity. I want you to be able to love your spouse more. I want you to be able to love your kids more. That doesn't happen in a vacuum of your wife your husband putting the seat down the right time. It doesn't happen in that kind of vacuum. It happens when the seat's up. It happens when the toilet paper's on backwards. It happens when the toothpaste is squeezed the wrong end. It happens in marriage. Love, growing love, happens in the crucible of sometimes your spouse not even being so lovable. Like they're rough fringes. And although you may want to change them, love is saying, I love you even if you don't change. Does that make sense? That's how we develop love. That's how we develop joy. That's how we develop peace. Peace is like finding, like going through a crucible of like difficulty and be like, be still and know that I am God. That's all I'm doing. I'm just being still. I'm not fighting this battle right now. I'm fighting it, but I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to let God do the story. That's be still and know that I am God. Listen, I want to just end with Paul, because Paul started this, right? You're like, Paul, he's a theologian. He's a thinker, right? And if you know Paul, he writes like crazy long sentences. He has deep thinking kind of thing, but he has no life experience in this. He obviously has never experienced tough things. And so he gets to 2 Corinthians, and again, I could go a list of what he's been through, but this chapter changed my ministry life. Because when you're starting leading a church or starting leading a youth ministry, when you're starting something, you feel inadequate, right? I mean, if you don't, then you're in trouble because then you're proud and you feel like I could never speak well enough. Who's ever going to be, how's God going to use me to transform a life? You're like, mind's going, I have nothing in by myself. And this is the chapter that kind of changed things for me. I don't know if I put it on the screen. Did I put it on the screen? 2 Corinthians would be helpful. There we go. This is what it says in verse 7. Therefore, Paul's talking to this church. He says, I'm not going to give you the background of it, but he's kind of sharing things that he could take pride in, but he's like, I can't take pride in that. And then it says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, but we know it's a trial, it's a tribulation. It's something that Paul's like, man, if I didn't have this, my ministry would be so much better. A messenger of Satan. You ever feel like your trials are that way? A messenger of Satan, like Satan's, this is an attack, a spiritual attack. A thorn in my flesh. A messenger of Satan to torment me. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord, pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. All right, so he's like, this is Paul, okay? Paul, the one who does miracles. You know, like, he shows up and amazing things happen. He's healed people. He's laid his hands on people and they receive the Holy Spirit. He's spoken in tongues. If you ever look at someone who's done it all, who's like his capacity is really large, that's him. He's and God gives him this test, this trial, this struggle, and he pleads with God. He's like, God, take it away, take it away, take it away. Hey, I want you to. Isn't that what we do? Take it away. And this is how God answers. This is how Jesus answers. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My gifts, my presence, my goodness, just me. I'm enough. You don't need that removed. You just need me. This is what I love. This is something I have for my power. All right. God's power. Just stop for a second before His power has created the world. All right, that power, the power that raised his son from the dead, that power, the power running this whole thing. My power is made perfect in weakness. His power is greatest when we're the weakest. His power shows up in the biggest ways when we're in the least ways. And therefore, this is what he says, therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses and my insults and my persecutions and this thorn in the flesh, because I know that his power is made perfect in my weakness. His power. In the midst of pleading with God to take it away, God says, no, this is the burden you're carrying. This is what you have. This is what I have for you. He says, but my power in the midst of that is going to be greater than you could ever experience. Your greatest struggles are God's greatest opportunities to show off his power. Your greatest battles right now are the places where God can show up greatest in his glory. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So you'll be lacking nothing. That's what God wants to do in us. Now, that's not a pretty message. That's not like one of those like, yeah, let's do that. Let's go out and change the world with being going through. But it's a reality of what God's doing. And God's chief, one of his main things is growing you. Sounds good, but it's a little painful. Let's pray together. And we'll just skip the last song because I went a little long this morning, and we'll have John come up here and share a few announcements. But let me just pray over you. But with your eyes closed, can I just do this for a second? I just think we should be a house of prayer. If you're facing something this morning, Again, you're like, I just don't know. You're ready. Your perseverance, you're like ready to tap out. You're ready to give up on this. You don't see how God's working this out in your life. I'm not giving you answers. I just want to be able to pray for you. Anybody want me to pray for you this morning as we wrap up the service? There's a few of you wrestling with a few things. All right, let me just pray over you. You pray as well, asking God to do his work in your life. Lord, you're a God about increasing capacity, growing us. And God, I know we have dreams for ourselves, but your dreams are even bigger. But in order to achieve that calling, those places that you want us to go, you got to expand our capacity. You got to grow us. And there are people in this room who are going through some difficult things. Some of it's health, some of it's marriage, some of it's kids, some of it's just wrestling with faith, job situations, financial situations. But your word says that we can know that you're working for our good, and that you take these things and you enlarge us, you grow us, you develop perseverance in us, you develop character in us. We can hold on to hope. And so I pray that we do that, that we know this end of the story. We can look back and celebrate all the hard things that we've been through that have grown us. Now I pray, God, this morning we look forward and say, all right, we trust you that you're going to grow us through those things as well. So may you do an incredible work in us, in this church, in the people here, so that we can see your glory revealed. May your power be on display in our weaknesses. In Jesus' name, amen.